podcast is brought to you by Wildflower Zen Sangha.
Something hit me this morning, 2 hours ago. Amy asked me to give me the gift to attend the birth of her second child, William. So I was there for the birth of her second child. I even saw the baby first. And now I'm here for the birth of her first successor, the baby patriarch. When we arrived last night, I felt walking towards the Zendo. I felt it was so vast, immense, limitless, like so full of all of us, all the generations before and the generations after. We are practicing to honor the generations before, what we have been given, what we have been transmitted, and we practice also for the future generations. That's why it's so important what we are doing. And I had the chance, you know, to see not only the next generation, but generation after the next one. We all have this opportunity right now, you know, to enlarge, you know, to enlarge our mind, our emotions, our perceptions, because we really, I think it's very strong for all of us that something is going on, something is happening here. We don't know exactly what it is. We cannot grasp it. We cannot really understand it. And the best thing we can do is to surrender to that, to let it work in us, to let this dimension we cannot grasp, but to let it be there in us, in every one of us. And we are extremely lucky that there is a group there, and that it's a communion. Open up to that. Open up to this unfolding as all this limitless space, which we resonate in us, or let it resonate in us. Let it resonate. It's such an opportunity, you know, to to even see our lives and all the circumstances of our life and the difficulties and the pain and the joy and a bigger dimension. To think bigger, to feel bigger, to see bigger. Because we are attending something that we cannot understand, really. And we all know that something is flowing. We all know that. And we are surrounded by the whole lineage. They are here. They are with us. Those we know, those who have known Kenpo Roshi, Maizuma Roshi, and all the others before. They are with us, they are supporting us, they are loving us. And also, we are supported, accompanied by all the people in our lives which have been important to us, which have loved us, nourished us, made us the way we are right now. This morning, Michel and I were with Zora in the transmission room. By the way, the transmission room is with a fabric, red and white. It's a womb. A birth is going to happen in this. The miracle of birth. For those of you who were children or who have attended childbirth, know the miracle it is. Whatever the circumstances, it's still a miracle that there is this new life. So we were in this room, the future successor has to recite the names of the lineage, the Sin Shakyamuni Buddha. We have made it a little shorter, so there cannot say all of them, but they are all there. We mentioned and that, you know, it's not only this lineage of patriarchs, but it's also all the people that have been important to us in our life. All the people that we have this gratefulness for, which have nourished, loved, who have made us the way we are. I thought of Judith, Joa's mother. She has moved on. She's not, as you know, she's not alive like this way. But I feel her presence, and I feel a dimension, and she's right now watching all this, very attentively watching all this, in the same time saying, you know, move on, move on. Don't cry over me. Move on. I'm there, but I'm this, in this dimension, which, again, as I said, we cannot grasp, we cannot know, we cannot understand, we cannot. This presence, which does not need a form, in a way, you know. This form, formless, you know, which is all what we are, all of us, you know. We are form and we are formless. We have very precise things, which looks very real, and you know, this emotion, this body, this, you know, body, it hurts and so on, you know, it seems so real. And at the same time, we are not that real. We are formless. You know? And that's what we want to experience the most. You know, our true nature, which is form and formless, which is real and not that real, which is solid and not that solid, which is so defined and not so defined, you know. To experience, I know this word emptiness is complicated, but it can be so misused, you know, but that's what we want, to experience our true nature, which is emptiness and form. And you know, and we go back and forth, and oh, you know this sentence of Nisargadatta, which I mentioned a lot. Look at this way. When I look inside and I see that I am nothing, it's wisdom. When I look outside and I see that I am everything, that's love. And my life flows between this. Understand? Yes, we are nothing in the sense that it's empty. And really, if we are honest, when we look inside, we find a lot of things. Magma. A lot. Okay. It's really solid. We try so much to solidify, for sure. We try so much to hold on to it, you know. But honestly, and when I look outside and I see that I'm everything, because there is this formless, I can see that I am everything. I can see that I'm the tree, I'm the bird, I'm the other part of me. And you know what, there was Judith, that's what, where she is at. That's what she is. She's with us, she's supporting us. But she has this clear other dimension. Saying your form and your formless. And that's why we can perceive what we are perceiving right now, although we don't really understand what this transmission is about. You know, I tell you, there are a few texts, but they're not it. You know, they're not it. We transmit something which is formless, and at the same time there are forms. It's happening between two people who are forms, who walked a path together. A path of intimacy, a path of love, a path of surrendering, a path of letting go, pas sans fin, inconditionnel, cette dévotion, inconditionnel. We all can do it because it's our true nature. Next year, that will be 30 years that I have received transmission. And during my transmission, Mazume Roshi was my precept teacher, which is what I'm doing in this transmission. I don't know, I won't even have to describe what that does to me to be in the position where I was. It's like it's a journey in time, think of that. Oh really? It felt like that, you know? And, oh my God, that's how we felt. And I feel what I feel, you know. He was so caring, so attentive, so involved. And everything. It's true. We are other people. Why is it possible? Because we are not so fixed. Said, you know, that transmission is sending between two people, very precise two people who walk this path of love and intimacy. Again, what we are, what we can perceive, you know, this is really the meeting between personal and impersonal. And that's where love is, really. There. This meeting, personal and impersonal. It's not abstract, you know, it's personal. But it opens up on a dimension which is impersonal. And makes true personal, not a personal which is just wanting, you know, to be acknowledged, to be recognized, to be, you know, this kind of trade. If you give me that, I give you this, and if you don't give me that, I don't give you this, and all this kind of merchandising that we do, which is okay, we have to look into it, we will do it, that we have to look into that. Because that's not really what we want. We want something more true than that. We want this acceptance. It's not just due to some characteristics that I think I have. It's a love, it's an intimacy which is opening up, which is an opening instead of
shrinking
or locking us up in something small. This intimacy which allows us to expand what we are intimate with, who we are intimate with. Sentient beings, trees, I know that maybe it can be lofty what I'm saying, but I tell you, this is an opportunity. We have this opportunity now to accept that the dimension that we cannot even grasp is what we are made of, what we want, what we can access to. Open up to what is going on, to the process, and we are all benefiting from transmission. I am, every one of us is benefiting from what, in a way, the less we can understand, define, know, the less we can do that, the more we open up. I read recently a Rumi saying, silence is the language of God. Everything else is poor translation. Now we can hear the silence of God. We can hear the silence. Sometimes we need translation, I'm talking. You know, we need translation. But we have to be clear, you know. These words are just in order for all of us to resonate with what is really essential. We have to be clear on this one. And it's about using words, you know. Went into the trip for years, you know, I didn't want to give talk, I didn't want to talk because it was unsayable and this and this. No, you know. But we have to be clear. They are pronounced, they are said, they are thought, you know, in order to convey something which is not really graspable, understandable, and so on. We are in this fantastic situation to accept that we don't know what's going on. and still something is gone. Je tombe. And still, it's so palpable. So palpable. You know, it's so, so amazing also. I feel close to all of you. But not that you, I don't know. I feel close to all of you. Although I don't know your stories, you know, I don't know you, some I know. But there is this closeness, because we share something here. You know, it's like the elephant in the room. We share something. With that and let it penetrate you. Do you want to ask a question? Anything? Yes, David.
While you're saying this, there are things that I have an information question, I think, is what I'm trying to say. I'm preparing the altars, and Joanne and Lisa are going from station to station with these chants. What are they chanting to? Are these ancestors? Are they...
Yeah, in the early morning, the round and...
Well, so. It goes on all day long.
Yeah.
Early morning, late morning.
Yes, at times we live. Yes, they are praying, they are grateful to the Buddha, they are grateful to the protectors of the temple, the lineage. They are grateful to the spirits of the toilets and the bathrooms also. It's like the whole world is represented in this, and we acknowledge and we pay homage to this, all these people before, and the people also, the spirits which animate all these places. There is Manjushri, there is the Buddha, there is the protectors, there is the spirits of the bathroom, the temple, the bathroom, the kitchen also. They all have different names, which I don't remember. And so that's why we are paying homage to them. You know, it's a way to include the cosmos, you know, to acknowledge that the whole cosmos is here, the whole world, I would say, is here, very precisely. And everybody has his function. It's like we animate the place, or we recognize how this place is animated, and that we are surrounded by this all this Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, spirits. And in the show, we acknowledge the people which have been before us, and as I said also, all the people who have been with us all our life. It's vast, you know. It's huge. Do you remember this, the generic of Star Wars? Do you remember? That was the first time we were seeing something like, I mean, for me at least, I remember 77. You know, and there was all this name unfolding in this three dimension, full of stars. And you remember? That's it. I do remember the movie theater. I saw it in San Francisco, da, da, just like da, 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 da. This is it. This dimension, you know, it's huge. It's huge. Yeah.
I think they were always black holes.
Yes, yes, they're part of all this, black holes, you know, something we cannot grasp and still. Yes.
It seems, at least in my experience, that as you open up more and more and more to love as everything, there's deeper levels at the same time of resistance.
Yes.
We just have to familiarize with that. And
yes. Yes. It's like you have 2-3 steps and then. No way. No, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. But hopefully you're still up one step, let's say. You need 3 steps, you go back 2 steps, you still have 1 step. Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I repeat, you know, this opportunity, we are taken by it. You know, in the moments where we cannot resist anymore. That's grace. Yeah. Let's use this moment where we cannot resist. Okay. But yes, you know, it's like the more we approach the formless, the more the form is just like, you know, I'm there. You know, you have to count on me. You know. Yes. Know the process. Know that what is at stake here. You know, that's what is going on at this moment. And if you can, relax into it. If you cannot, you go backward. That's okay. Yeah. Knowing that you will move on at one point. Yeah. If you keep practicing, you will move on. The most dangerous thing is to stop practicing. But if you keep practicing, if you still sit on your cushion, still follow your breath, still acknowledge, you know, what is going on, still have the goodwill to acknowledge what's going on, Yeah. Do you know the joy of being aware of what's going on? Do you know that? It's a deep joy. Yeah, yeah, it's shitty, my practice is shitty, my I can't do that, and this. And then you become aware of this. You become aware of all this mechanism which is going on. And there is a joy there. The pure joy of awareness. And somewhere we are a little, you know, décollé, unstuck, you know, from this. You become aware of the process. You become aware of why you resist. There are moments where it's scary. I'm saying, you know, open up to what's this, open up to this mystery, open up to this miracle. Wow, you know, it's scary, it's frightening. We are a group, you are a sangha, you are a teacher. That's how we can do it. We do it together. And you know that the others are struggling with that too. You know that your teacher has went through that and is still probably going through that at times. And this, we are in it together. And that's how also we can go on. But yes, it's a very natural thing. It's a resistance, yes. You know, we can say also, the more doubt, the more faith. You know that. The more we have doubt, the more we have faith. I recently was listening to an imam from Bordeaux, which I really want to read more of what he said, because it was so amazing. And he was describing the doubt and faith, how that worked together, and he was saying, listen to that, that the Muslim religion is based on doubt. Almost so much certainties with this jihadist and Islamist and all this. But no, he was saying this is it, this is doubt. And the more doubt, the more faith. Because you know, doubt, we are doubting our certainties. And certainties are not faith. Faith is something which we don't know in what. Faith is not certainty, and we want certainties. And certainties, sometimes we need it, we need it to walk, But certainties are making us stuck. Faith is it. And I think because you are here, you have faith. Otherwise you won't be. You have faith. In what? Again, a bit difficult to really say. We can say, I have faith in my teacher, I have faith in the Dharma, I have faith in eventually in my capacity of realizing something. eventually. This is the most difficult one. But it's, all this isn't enough. Faith is bigger than that. And faith has nothing to do with certainties. And doubt is what allows us to question our certainties. So, yes, the resistance is that we want to keep what I know. I want to keep what I know. And one step more, oh, come on. But sometime we can rest on our certainty for one. If we are smart enough, we connect with people who are able to shaken up these certainties. This is our inner wisdom, you know. And so we can move on. Because we don't want to be stuck in certainties. We want. It's comfortable for a while, and then after it's just like, when we have figured out everything, so what? It's death.
So how do you translate faith in French?
Foi. 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 Foi.
Foi.
Foi. Yes. Yes. There is croyance, belief, and there is faith.
Foi.
Yeah, belief and certainties.
Say a bit something more about the importance of the being together in the process.
It's huge. It's huge. it's so huge to have it, you know, to have a sangha. It's so huge. That's Thich Nhat Hanh who said that, you know, it's not the snow leopard. Being in a desert, he dies. It's like, you know, it's like we are all snow leopards, we need snow, you know. I just mentioned something before, which is that, you know, we connect with people and we know they are walking the same path. We know they are resonating with something in us. They help us get this resonance out, to clarify this resonance. They help us also to see our shortcomings. Just putting shortcomings, you know. Can be more than that. Neurosis, you know. Wow, you know. They help us also to see, you know, our anger and greed and jealousy and all these kind of things. They are very helpful, these people, you know. Very helpful in good and bad. They are helpful. We cannot do it all. We cannot do it all. And in my experience, we cannot do it without a teacher. But that's my experience. Some people do it without the teacher. But that's my experience, and for me, you know, in a way, the teacher is the soul of the sangha. Is the one making all these electrons. Working together, you know. You know, in quantum physics, you have this. They all go in all directions, but they don't actually. They have a certain. That's it. That's the role of the teacher, and you know, as a teacher, just be there. That's enough. but for the student, just to connect. Connection is. Really helps you tremendously. Connection, which means trust, really, and a very special connection, link, karmic, I don't know. So for me, it's the importance of resonating together. Do you feel that right now? How much we are together in all with all our differences, with all our uniqueness, I would say, you know, But to me, it's palpable, you know, what is circulating here. We need that. We need that in times where we doubt, where we hesitate, where we feel weak, where we feel vulnerable, and we are trying to put all things back together, to bloom the things, you know. If there is a place where and why we cannot glue our things together. Do you understand what I mean? This, or we can let go of our carapace. What is carapace? Shell?
Shell.
This same imam talked about a carapace identitaire. I love this. Carapace identitaire, which means
carapace de identidad.
Voilà. In Portuguese. Does that resonate? We make ourselves a shell of identity. I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a teacher, I am good, I'm bad, I'm worthy, I'm unworthy, And this is a shell, but a carapace, even the word in French as you know, it's like, you know, carapace.
Carapace.
You have the same. A sense that, wow. Not what we are. That's not what we are.
And you may say that the teachers, sensei, roshis, this birth and this birth is there for us to really resonate with this unborn thing, because the word birth made me think about the verse of atonement. I atone with my anger, ignorance, greed, and the verse says, birth, I don't have eaten.
No, it's the verse of atonement. Mm-hmm. The verse of atonement.
The verse?
Yes.
Oh.
What do you mean?
What I wanted just the teachers help us to this greed, ignorance.
It's a born anger, is that born of my mind?
Yes, born, yes, absolutely born, yes, born of, and they help us to melt it all, so that it's not anymore. And you see what I mean?
Yes, alors, for me, the not anymore. Okay. Let's say. They dissolve, you know, they come back. Okay, let's be clear. But at least we are more aware of what's going on. Okay. And I guess what you say about resonating, you know, it's becoming aware of this process and that this greed, anger, and ignorance are part of us, but that's not fundamentally our nature, our unborn nature, if you want to say.
Yes, because
we
it's born of.
We. Not that the sufferings which are born of our greed, anger, and ignorance. All sufferings
created by.
Created.
On account of my beginning, less greed, anger, and ignorance, born of my body, mouth.
Yes. Yes. But the sufferings which are created this way. Yes.
Aren't they the expressions of our frantic search for the carapace?
Voilà. Yes.
But the carapace identitaire,
is necessary.
To a certain point. To a certain point. Absolutely. I mean, we have an identity. Now, are we flexible with this identity? Are you always a mother? Are you always a teacher? Are you always a whatever? You know? What about this fluidity? That's it. The moment where it becomes a carapace, identitaire, for me, it's a moment where this is my whole identity is there. I cannot, if I look inside and I see that I am nothing, this is wisdom. I cannot see I am nothing if I am stuck in there. Okay. Now, I need to function as a teacher at times, I need to function as a partner at times, I need to function as a friend at times, as a sister, as a brother, as a whatever, you know. You see the difference? This form, which is also formless.
As a bodhisattva.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's an identity carapace. There could be an identity carapace.
The problem is, when that becomes a carapace, the bodhisattva trip. And then I say, bodhisattva trip. Because at the moment where I'm so identified with being this bodhisattva, this helper, oh my God. Everybody suffers around. I'm the helper. Oh my God.
If we keep this image, of the carapace, I think what is beautiful is the baby turtle has a soft carapace,
yes.
And also like a lobster, they change carapace, and at one moment it's totally soft, and maybe this is a very, very precious moment.
Absolutely. I think you are referring to the fact that lobster at times they shed a shell because it became too small, so they build another one and they build, but they move. I mean, they expand.
At what time they are very moved?
Yes, they are very vulnerable and yeah. I mean, you know. There is nothing wrong with identification at all. There is, you know, I also read this, there was a sentence of Ram Dass which I found fantastic. Okay. The ego is a good servant and a lousy master. Okay. It's fantastic. Because it's a good servant. The ego wants tons of things. Huh? He's not going to get what he wants, but he wants things. He wants enlightenment. He wants realization. He wants to be good in order to look good. Okay. He wants tons of things, you know. The only problem is then when he becomes a master. And you know the moment where he takes over. How to use his constant desires, you know. I mean, even the ego thrives on greed, anger, and ignorance. Huh? Okay, this is really his marks, his characteristics. There is a good thing to anger. There is a good thing to greed. There is a good side to ignorance also, you know. And I really encourage you, I did that recently, to really see the good side of anger, the good side of grief, the good side of ignorance. And we have the five Buddha families, which are exactly that, you know, which is transmutation, I would say. Yes.
And I think you're so right, because, you know, there's a center of the Dhamma chakra, the center of the three one.
Yes, greed, anger, the three poisons, and
it's the center
of the will. Yes, so the will of life.
It's
absolutely
a vital Vital.
It's energy. It's energy.
It's neither bad nor good.
Yes, it's pure energy. We have to see it's pure energy. Usually we are caught in there and we want this greed, we want things to be fulfilled, we want, and so on and so on. And we are completely overwhelmed by anger and okay. But really, see the thing, how that works, you know.
You spoke about the problems of the carapace on a personal level, but I also guess that one of the greatest problems is the collective identity.
Yeah.
Could you say something about that? What is the problem with the group?
Yes, absolutely.
Can come with smaller group. Can develop into the idea of nation and so on.
I mean, all wars, I would say, come from that, from this identification to a certain group of people against the other. Yes. It's so obvious. What do you want me to say? I mean, you know, but that
yeah,
can
I'd
be...
Like, no. I'd like you to also say about something about the Sangha, for instance, about
yes.
the problems if it becomes a carapace.
Right. That also can be a problem, okay? That's why, I mean, I think the teacher has to be careful about that, you know. To me, the Sangha has to be always ready to open up to anybody who wants to be part of it. In a way, you know, this is the best thing I can hear about my Sangha at times, that people enter this Sangha and feel welcome. Voilà. For me, that's a criteria, you know. Because it's true, you know, that the Sangha, like any kind of groups, can be enclosed, locked into itself. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Sectarian.
Sect, absolutely. I think that's why also we have to be careful with power, you know. And I think that's the role of the teacher, to be aware of which power he has. He has power, he has a tremendous power, and how to use the power. I think we, as teachers, we work on it. And as students, we work on it also, you know, because this, there is something which, for me, I have always been extremely vigilant, is le petit chef, you know? Roshi says that we need to do that. You know, wow, not a minute. You know, we all want power, whether we are aware of it or not, you know. And we all have power. So that's the work also to do ourselves, you know. How to use the power we have, because we have power over each other. You know? And what do I do with this power? Is it really to help others to realize themselves? You know? Or is it about comforting myself?
I am a good person, which is really power, help. It's very, very similar, you know. How do we help? Do we help in order to feel good about oneself? Do we help because I really want the other to unfold, to develop, to realize, to be oneself? You know? I guess we all have this problem, you know. As a mother, as a father, as anyone who has a position, you know. What is my true motivation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is my true motivation? Why do I accept this position? You know, what is it I want to do with that position? Why do I accept these circumstances? Let's say, you know, we want power, and we have a hard time to assume, to
own
the power we have. Yes. Because as a teacher, you have to function as a teacher. At the same time, what is the motivation? And we have to clap, to come back to that, to come back to that, to come back to that. Yes. That's why also we need a sangha, we need peers, you know, with the people that we can exchange with, you know. We need feedbacks, you know. I mean, it's huge, we can say about it, but... in all this is, don't lose the point. Don't lose the point. Why do I do that? Is it just to satisfy my ego? Let's the ego be a servant, not the master. And we know when that bascule, we know that. Okay, silence is the language of God.
If you have enjoyed this Dharma talk, just give us a visit on wildflowerzen.org.